recording or tell people they're not allowed to record. And if it comes out, those officers do not get disciplined for that. They just basically get talked to and they're protected. And that's the whole point. They know they can get away with it, so they'll continue doing it, even though they know they're not legally allowed to do that.
Well, we can't underestimate people's ability to see what they want to see, even when confronted with what might seem like clear images. I myself will never forget the Simi Valley juror who, when looking at video of Rodney King on the ground being beaten by police officers, said, "Look at how he is leading the action," talking about King.
Right.
The officer who killed Eric Garner wasn't indicted, despite the video. But you're not saying that citizen video is or should be the only measure for police accountability. It's not a panacea.
No, I mean, look, the system right now is broken. The prosecutor can basically get an indictment if he wants, or can get a non-indictment if he wants. And the court system is very favorable to the police officers, even with a video. There's no real fairness, and especially when it comes to the minority community, because of poverty issues. If you don't have a whole lot of money to fight a case in court, then you're not going to win. And the system knows that. The legal system knows that. So they prey upon the poor people, many of them who happen to be black or Hispanic or even white people. It becomes this money-making scheme. There is a lot of work to be done. We're just beginning this struggle right now. We're beginning this fight. And the first step in solving this is basically showing the world this is what's happening.
All right, then. We've been speaking with Carlos Miller of Photography Is Not a Crime. You can find them and their work online at photographyisnotacrime.com. Thank you very much, Carlos Miller, for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on FAIR's website, fair.org. That's also the place to sign up for FAIR's Action Alert Network. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thank you for listening to Counterspin.
Good evening, KBOO listeners. The time is now 6:01, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is looking for qualified candidates to fill two vacant board seats. The KBOO Board of Directors invites qualified KBOO members who are interested in becoming a board member to submit a candidate statement no longer than 500 words, which should include the applicant's experience, information about previous board or coalition experience, and why they want to serve on the KBOO Board of Directors. Please email your candidate statement to Timothy Welp at kboocommunity@gmail.com by March 13th, 2015. Candidates should also plan on being present at the March 23rd, 6 p.m. KBOO Board of Directors meeting to present a short statement about why they are interested in joining KBOO Board of Directors. Again, KBOO is looking for qualified candidates to serve on the Board of Directors. Application due March 13th and public presentations will be made March 23rd. More information can be found at kboo.fm/boardvacancies2015.
Women's Day this Sunday for live music from the KBOO studios from 7 to 10 p.m. Shirley Certain and Just Jess will host Annie Dang, Rachel Taylor Brown, and Butterfly Breakdown, as well as some recordings from the KBOO live music archive. That's 7 p.m. this Sunday for International Women's Day.
Shake, 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 shake. Come on now and move your hips in. Shake, 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 shake.
preaching at the dawn of the day. All the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, feminist news and public affairs. On the KBOO airwaves since 1978, the longest-running feminist radio program in the country. I'm your host this week, Leanne Kronz. Our engineer is Abani Z. Connect with us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm, Bread and Roses. You can access our podcasts and share feedback and show ideas there. And like us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is shared among a collective of women-identified radio activists. And if you're interested in joining us as a producer, host, or engineer, no experience necessary, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes, at volunteer@kboo.org. Or call the station at 503-231-8032. Ani's extension is 213. Tonight, we welcome Spilt Milk, You'll Laugh Till You Cry Comedy Showcase, a live monthly misogyny-free comedy show featuring local comics and writers. Our guests in the studio are the Spilt Milk co-founders and producers, Joni Quinn and Betsy Kaufman, and one of the performers, the Portland-based writer, Nikki Shulak. They will all be featured in the upcoming Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase next Friday, March 13th, in Multnomah Village at O'Connor's. There are two shows that night, 7 and 9 p.m. Joni Quinn is the foster adoptive mother of four children, ranging from 8 years old to a sophomore in college, and turns her stay-at-home chaos into comedy. Joni Quinn has appeared at Harvey's Comedy Club, in Helium Comedy Club's Funniest Person Contest, and in Portland's All Jane, No Dick Comedy Festival. She co-founded, produces, and performs in Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase. Welcome, Joni Quinn.
Thank you, Leanne. It's great to be here.
Also with us is her co-founder and producer-performer, Betsy Kaufman. Betsy Kaufman got started on stage after taking a stand-up class at Portland Community College.
You can study anything there.
That's awesome. She has managed to combine her passion for green power and the environment with her love of comedy, performing for the Clean Energy States Alliance, Energy Trust of Oregon, Renewable Northwest, and the Ecumenical Ministries Earth Care Summit. Betsy's humor derives from her experiences as a wife and mother and her foray into show business. Betsy has opened at Harvey's Comedy Club and performed in the All Jane, No Dick, I love saying that, Comedy Festival in Portland in 2012 and 2013. And again, she is the co-founder, producer, and performer with Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase. Welcome, Betsy Kaufman.
Hi, Leanne. Good to be here.
Yay. And we are also very pleased to have one of the performers here with us tonight, writer Nikki Shulak. Nikki Shulak writes and performs with frankness and humor personal stories about bodies. Her essays have been published in the Voice Catcher Anthology and recognized by the 2012 Sports Poetry and Prose Contest at Winning Writers and Best American Essays 2013, edited by Cheryl Strayed. Her book, My Midlife Thong Crisis, is the only book at Powell's that comes with a thong. She performed with Portland's inaugural Listen to Your Mother show last spring. She's the mother of teenagers and loves her new parenting group, the Poly Mamas, a group of mothers who all have multiple partners. Welcome back to Bread and Roses, Nikki Shulak.
Thank you, Leanne.
Nikki was here last fall as one of the readers in the Unchaste Readers. night. That was a blast.
Nikki, welcome, your everybody. Life is so much more interesting than mine.
That's another show.
Yeah.
Joni Quinn and Betsy Kaufman, what motivated you to co-found Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase?
We didn't want to go to open mics anymore.
It was too late. We couldn't stay up that late.
We needed to get home and fold our laundry. Oh, it's hard to go to the open mics. We were 25 years older than the average person there, and we decided, let's do it ourselves. And it's worked out really well.
Yeah, we started out doing an open mic, but then we didn't know if anybody would show up, so it was kind of hard. There'd be two people there in the audience. So we transformed it into a show, and that's worked out really well. So it's more of a production. Nikki here, she bought us our curtains. We built a little stage, made it all fancy. She bought shower curtains. You know those are shower curtains, right? They're hilarious. Beautiful red shower curtains.
Walmart.
Yeah, excellent. I used to iron them before every show. I gave up on that.
But then she's a feminist now. She doesn't iron them anymore.
Yeah.
I know I'm a feminist because my husband took the ironing board out to iron a shirt one day, and my three-year-old goes, "What's that?" I'm like, "Yes, I have arrived."
Yay. So, okay, you didn't quite fit into the Portland comedy scene. What's going on in the Portland comedy scene right now?
Actually, the Portland comedy scene is really hot.
It's on fire.
It's on fire. There is so much comedy that you can hear, and it's a terrific variety. There are all kinds of venues. But the scene that we were not loving was a lot the open mic scene. That's kind of the entry-level entry-level place. It was it didn't quite fit for comedy that we were doing. I was doing a lot of stuff about being a mom, and the people that I was performing for, the other comics, were old enough, young enough to be my kids, and it didn't quite work.
A lot of them aren't married. You know, some of them are really young. You can start performing at 18, and even in the clubs, you can't stay, but you can perform. And now it's hot because we have comics, we're developing comics here in Portland that are being successful in L.A. Ian Carmel came out of Portland, Ron Funches, he's got a sitcom. So it's thriving right now. And the thing that I'm most excited about, and I don't know, Betsy probably would agree, is that we've found a way to bridge and connect with the Portland comedy scene by having our showcase, because we have a warm, attentive audience. And most open mics are people that are just happen to be there or other comics. And we can pull the really popular comics and talented comics over to our showcase, and they get to perform in front of an audience that's listening and not texting and laughing. And so we've kind of bridged it, and now we're friends with these young people that are so talented, like Bree Pruitt, Alex Falcone, and Curtis Cook, those guys.
Yeah, Bree was one of Willamette Week's top five comedians, and she likes coming to our show. And we pay them, which they always like, of
course. Not much, but we do pay.
But we do pay
and open mics don't, so. Yeah.
It's very legitimizing.
To get paid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine. They get pretty excited. We had one comic. So we also feature newbies. We try to give a few minutes to newbies. One newbie, she posted a picture of her check because she was so excited.
Right there with the account number.
And I'm like, awesome. Can you please take that down?
Yeah. We had one comic who came who was accustomed to, she was in her early 20s, she was accustomed to performing in front of her peers, and she came to our show and she said, gosh, I can successfully perform for adults. And so it's a really, our show is really approachable, and it's a lot of fun, and people, it's a very relaxed and very funny show.
You know, there was something else you left behind by starting your own thing outside of the Portland comedy scene. And you make sure that didn't follow you by having some really unique guidelines for your comics. Can you please talk about your guidelines and why you felt they were important?
You know, we performed together for a totally clean, and it was called Uber Clean
show
called Time Out, the mother of all comedy shows. That's how we met. And we really liked that we were not hearing the raunchy,
misogynistic jokes that were, about to a great extent, demeaning to women or
I
worse,
don't think yeah. I saw a show where the microphone wasn't turned into a penis. So, you know, we liked that. And in order to actually have a niche, we decided we wanted to be clean, but not super clean like the old show. So we came up with PG-13 because we thought everyone would really understand that. But we still have to be specific in our
People
guidelines.
Say, well, what do you mean? So we actually came up with a list of words you cannot say, a list of topics that you cannot cover. And it always amazes me that we have to say these things, but it helps to be specific. We heard that our guidelines actually made the rounds in the comedy community, that that people, some of the comics thought they were kind of funny.
Oh, I'm sure they did. And they probably were. They probably, what I get from the scene is they don't want any restrictions. They want free speech. And what we're doing is really kind of against the normal comedy thing. But we are putting on a show. We have a product that we're presenting and that our audience is expecting. And so we wanted to control the content.
We're very consistent about it.
Yeah. You create a safe space
yeah.
for the women performers and audience members.
Uh-huh.
I love comedy and I watch it on HBO all the time. But I feel assaulted, you know, by some of the jokes. And I'm like, it's very confusing. You know, you want to laugh and enjoy the person, but some of the stuff is just not funny.
Yeah,
it hurts. And I don't know if comics understand that whole, you know, anything goes, that's what makes comedy attitude is really hurtful sometimes to women.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it we've created an environment where the comedy is just plain funny. And it's not offensive. Mm-hmm. And we have found that our audience really likes that, and that comedians enjoy doing that kind of humor and are happy to come there. And it's a nice, consistent product that people can enjoy and not be embarrassed that they heard something and or not feel like, oh my gosh, that kind of bothered me
or
to hear that.
Triggered or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the things I love about you all is that you also discourage ageism. You know, that is rampant in comedy.
Well, I'm getting the Fred Meyer Senior discount, so ageism doesn't work on our stage. Actually, I went to Fred Meyer the first time I got the Fred Meyer Senior discount, and I got really mad that they didn't card me. I thought I was looking forward to it, and she didn't even ask to see my ID to prove that I was that old. I was very upset about it. Oh yeah, we put on we actually have people from their 20s up through. Well, I'm not exactly sure how old Wendy Westerwell is, and I'm sure
and
that
Susan,
she was,
Susan
and
Rice.
Susan Rice, who's a local longstanding
legend.
Yes, so yeah, we. We're non-discriminatory that way.
Well, I'm a menopause mom, so I'm used to being, I'm hanging out with moms that are 20-something, you know, the ones with their one baby and their waist. I mean, yeah, I'm mistaken for the grandmother, so ageism is not something that's happening around.
It's perfect for you.
It's perfect.
Yeah, because then if your kids start misbehaving, you can just blame their parents.
So you're going to use my punchline. What the heck? That is hilarious. Okay, that's how this is going to go down.
And I was thinking in particular about ageism in the jokes. Like I watched Roseanne Barr's roast on Comedy Central.
Oh, were they making fun of how old she was?
Carrie Fisher was there and Roseanne. And the only thing the guys could come up with, you know, was you're old. And the Carrie Fisher just got up and just basically just pointed out how immature and lame that was. You know, it wasn't even funny and it was great to see. But yeah, that's another thing that assaults me in comedy shows, just that.
Yeah. Well, I think some of that is a substitute for thinking. I mean, the thing about comedy is it takes work. You have to write, you have to think. And I think going for things like that is so obvious.
Yeah.
And you can get a laugh pretty easily, but it takes more work to come up with something that isn't that way. And
I saw Andrew Dice Clay perform in LA once, and he was, to me, he started the wave of shock comedy, and and people were appalled by him. And now you hear comedy like that almost every time you go to a comedy club. It's all about shocking. Yeah. People are laughing because they're shocked.
Right.
Yeah. And so we don't have that, and people really enjoy it, and it's funny.
You can surprise people with a joke without shocking them.
Yeah. Definitely.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. Our guests are with the Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase, co-founders Joni Quinn and Betsy Kaufman, and one of the performers, our local Portland writer, Nikki Shulak. We're going to take a very quick musical break, and when we get back, we're going to hear some writing from Nikki Shulak.
Woohoo!
We'll be right back.
Hey. Okay. I think I'm a little...
I'll never be your Maggie Mae, the one you loved and left behind, the face you see in light of day, then you cast away. That isn't me in that bed you'll find. I'd rather take myself away, be like those ladies in Japan. I'd rather paint myself a face, conjure up some grace, would be the eyes behind a fan. And so you go, no girl could say no to you. There's the way I may appear.
That was Suzanne Vega with I'll Never Be Your Maggie Mae from Songs in Red and Gray. You're listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO. Our guests tonight are Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase co-founders Joni Quinn and Betsy Kaufman, and one of the Spilt Milk performers, writer Nikki Shulak. One of the things that sets Spilt Milk apart is that you welcome writers.
Yes, we love them.
Yay. And that started with Time Out, with Jackie Kane, who produced Time Out, the mother of all comedy shows. She featured all women. So that show was all women. And
actually, it was all moms.
All mothers.
All moms.
And she featured authors, women writers who wrote comedy. And we love that about it. So we just continued that. And I'm trying to think. I think have we had one male writer, or they all have been women?
I think all of them have been women.
I think all of them have been women. So,
and Nikki Funny Shulak women is one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One
Nikki's
of the funniest.
Incredibly talented.
Oh, my goodness. That
love
thong
her.
Piece.
Nikki will be featured along with Joni Quinn and Betsy Kaufman at their next Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase next Friday night at O'Connor's in Multnomah Village. Show is at 7 and 9. Nikki Shulak, when we met to... was a very funny lunch we all had when we met to plan this show. You mentioned that Spilt Milk offers you as a writer of funny topics. It provides you with a forum that you might not find anywhere else in town. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Spilt Milk is a great venue for a comedy writer because people are coming to see comedy. They're comfortable laughing at you. That's not always true when you're reading in a coffee house or in a bookstore, but people come to hear you expecting you to do something funny. So I do love performing with Spilt Milk.
And our audience loves you.
Oh, they adore
Nikki. Thank you, Joni. Thank you, Betsy.
Nice. So you have been gracious enough to bring some pieces to read for us tonight. Do you want to... This is actually, it's a one piece from your latest project. Would you discuss your latest project and then give us a taste?
Yes. My latest project is, it's a current obsession that I have. And I'll talk a little bit about obsessions because I do a lot of obsessive things that come out in my writing. At the Spilt Milk show coming up next week, I'll be reading a new piece about my love affair with Prozac, which most people know about if they know me because I do have Prozac, the chemical formula for Prozac, tattooed on my wrist.
It's disguised as a bracelet.
That's a bracelet, exactly. Molecular formula. And that's the kind of thing that I obsess about. When I went to see David Sedaris, I read in his bio that David's not shy about sharing those embarrassing, cringe-worthy incidences that members of the general public generally save for diaries or therapists. So I read that and I started to fret about David Sedaris and how funny he is and about how he's going to take all the most embarrassing moments in the world before I can get to them.
Use them all up.
And he has editors and a publicist. Oh, Nikki,
he's got nothing on you, honey.
So I do stay up at night worrying about that. But my current obsession is with something called Poems for Pounds. It's the poetry weight loss system. And you've probably heard of it because it's really big in LA. It's a reward incentive system, and this is how it works. If you lose a pound, you get to write a poem. And there are some people who think writing a haiku for a half pound is okay, but I'm in the more conservative school because I think half pounds are flighty things. They just come and go so quickly. A half pound, I mean, I can fart a half pound. Oh, and if you gain a pound, you have to write a limerick, and that is a bummer. So the theory behind this program is that if you honor your lost pounds by writing a poem about each one of them, it'll build their confidence, and it'll be easier for them to go out in the world.
Oh.
If they feel special and loved, they will get jobs and become productive members of society and not come back and live in your basement. So this first poem I'm going to read honors lost pound number 4. And I'm proud to say that this little pound is now doing humanitarian work in Ethiopia.
Oh, wow.
It's called Why Did the Dieter Cross the Road? She was hungry and full of dissatisfaction. She needed the exercise. She was bored and angry at the chicken, who came only fried, sautéed in butter, wrapped in bacon. The road itself was long and difficult. It seemed somehow easier to cross the road than wander alone along the narrow, meandering shoulder. So I lost 40 pounds using the poetry weight loss system.
Wow.
It's true that at first it's really hard to diet and write. I recommend that you keep a notebook with you all the time. And you'll find that one of the keys to success in any weight loss poetry regime really is to locate your writing space away from the kitchen. For me, it's worked really well to set up an office in a deep hole in my backyard. This next pound is for pound number 16. I lost it on a hike in the gorge. It just slipped away. There was no drama. It was just like, okay, bye. Look for me on LinkedIn. And I said, bye. And the last I heard, it was working in an addictions clinic in Eugene. This poem is written in the form of an obituary. It's called What We Recall. Alice Kay passed away in her sleep February 1st. She was 92 years old and a size 16. She graduated from Franklin High School and received her bachelor's degree from Portland State University in 1950. She'd always wished she were thinner. Alice married Sheldon Kay in 1951 and raised two children, Mary B. of Salem and Adam Kay of Idaho Falls, Idaho. She was never able to lose those extra 30 pounds after Adam was born. She spoke fluent Russian and had a career as a fifth grade teacher.
She had trouble eating in moderation, especially after a glass of wine. Alice studied briefly in the Soviet Union before the fall of communism. She favored loose-fitting clothing and wide belts. She overate, alone in her kitchen at night. She spent 6 months in Pakistan setting up schools for women and girls in the shadow of the Taliban regime. She regretted that she didn't get more exercise. Last pounds are clingy things. They are the hardest to get rid of. You've taken care of them for so long, they've lost all ambition. They have no skills. I took my last pounds out for bubble tea, and I said, "You need to go." And they were like, "No, we like it here. We like you." And I said, "Yeah, well, this relationship has to end. We're not good for each other anymore." And finally, they did go. But then they called me and said, "Oh, hi, we ran out of money. Can we come back and stay with you?" I told them no. I said, "Go away." And they begged me, "Oh, come on, just for like a month until we get our stuff together." I told them, "I'm in a new relationship. It's not a good time. Go stay with my sister. She's got room to spare." On a final note, I'd just like to say that studies show that the poetry weight loss system works at least as well as doing nothing.
Thank you.
That was Nikki Shulak. She will be performing at the upcoming Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase next Friday night, Multnomah Village, O'Connor's. Nikki, how would that play if you read it at some Portland literary event?
I don't know. I'd like the opportunity to try.
I think it'd play.
Yeah. Are you able to read funny things at those sort of things, those events?
I read my essay, my midlife thong crisis, in public.
Good.
And that has run well. I've read public stories about ovulation, masturbation, my vulva. But they're all comedy.
Yay.
I think bodies are really good things to laugh at.
Nice work.
Thank you, Leon.
So, Joni Quinn and Betsy Kaufman, in the introduction, I alluded to some of the source material for your comedy. You all draw from your real lives. What type of topics do you like to cover?
Well, I do a lot of comedy about my family because the comedy just writes itself. My oldest son is 20 now, and when he was a teenager, he once said to me,
Wait. I wasn't listening because you were talking.
I didn't have to write that joke. He did it for me. And I have an 8-year-old who is a dingbat. Hi, Tony. You're going to love that I said that. And then I have a 12-year-old daughter, and that's Lucy. And then I have a 16-year-old daughter named Rose. And they're all great kids, but they all have great senses of humor. So we're always having a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughter in our house and a lot of yelling because the yin and yang of everything, and I'm half Italian, so that's where it goes. And it's sad because I was a really good mom with the first one, super patient. It's all about the choices. You know, it's raining outside. You want to wear the red jacket or the blue jacket. He still wore a jacket, right? Win-win. Right. I have completely degenerated as a mother, and people who have more than one kid, the fourth kid, he gets menopause, mom. Here's his choice. Honey, you lost the red jacket again? Oh my God. Okay, here's your choice. You're going to wear the blue jacket or get a spanking. Still wears a jacket. He'll attest to that. I'll pass it to you, Betsy.
Thank you. Yeah, I have written done a lot of jokes about my family as well. Although I hit a point where I just decided I didn't want to embarrass them anymore. Joni doesn't care.
I don't.
Yeah. No, but I did. And when they were little, they were very funny.
Tell them about the wagon.
Oh, yes. When they do these things, and that's what's great about comedy is you get a chance to use this stuff. We were at this outdoor music festival. This was in Salem, and my younger one was, I don't know, maybe about 8 years old. And we were sitting and listening to the music. And then all of a sudden, this woman came up next to us, and she's pulling her son, who's in a little red wagon. And so this kid is in the wagon, and he has a cup of juice, and his face is painted like Spider-Man. And my son starts staring at this kid. He's just looking at him. And I thought, what's going on? So finally, I leaned over, and I said, what's up? And he said to me, look at that kid living the dream. Stuff like that happens all the time. The first joke I ever wrote when I took my class at PCC, which, by the way, I did all the homework. I was the only one in the class who did.
Gold star.
Comedy yes. homework.
Yes. Yeah, you have to go home. You have to write. So a few months before that, my kids were pretty little at that time. I had forgotten to, my son had lost a tooth, and he put the tooth under his pillow, and I had totally forgotten to deliver the money. So he got up the next morning, and he came in the kitchen crying because his tooth was there and there was no money. And so this is part of the foibles in life. That's, you know, the genesis of comedy. So what I said about that is I tried to be consoling. I said, listen, sweetie, sit down. This is the first of so many disappointments you're going to have in your life, but the others are going to be so much worse. Because the tooth fairy, I started thinking about it, the tooth fairy is such a weird concept. It's a woman with wings who traffics in body parts. It's like Sonny Corleone got together with Tinkerbell and had a child, which I don't think was in the Disney version of the movie.
No.
So that sort of thing, I deal. And now my kids are teenagers. Like my eldest son, I told him that his shirt looks really nice on him. I said, hey, it looks nice on you. And he said, thank you. Your opinion means nothing to me. So those are the kinds of things that I do. I also have a few jokes. Some people have a rule that you're not supposed to do jokes about your husband, and totally do.
And my husband's such a good sport. He comes to every show and laughs at the same stuff over and over.
Interesting. So some comedians don't, as a rule.
I
husbands
it
are
depends
off limits.
On the
to
husband.
Like you when you get home.
Yeah, it depends on the husband, I think. My husband's a really good sport. I met him when he was in medical school. He had me convinced he was a freelance gynecologist working out of his car. Now, that is not a true story. Just thought I'd let everyone know that knows Joe.
I thought it was.
Oh, you thought it was?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You guys were just, you were picturing
it. See, no wonder it's off limits. Slippery slope. Yeah.
And I do a lot of jokes about growing up Jewish in Wisconsin. That's, you know, because when you grow up Jewish, you obsess over that. We were the only Jewish family. I grew up in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, 35,000 people, 5 Jews there, my family. And it was hard. People, you don't know what it was like, Joni.
I'm really sorry for you.
When I was 7 years old in my Brownie troop, all the girls were talking about their first communion. And I remember, so I didn't have any idea what they're talking about. So I said, I had a communion, but my mom gave me antibiotics and it went away. So it was, there were difficult things that we do. And you do jokes about anything that you can find, that you can think of. But usually it's about problems.
And my youngest looked at the wedding picture in the hallway and he's like, who's that with daddy? Thanks a lot. Love you too, honey. Kind of stuff like that.
Oh my gosh. We're talking with the funny women of Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase. You just heard from some beautiful reading from writer Nikki Shulak, and then discussion with Joni Quinn and Betsy Kaufman. So Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase, by including women's stories of their authentic lives, it really has broadened the concept of comedy. And
for me, this was something I dreamed of doing from my 20s and never thought that it would be something that I'd actually do. And the typical comedy club that you go to, you see a 35-year-old man, and it's, so it's hard for you to picture yourself doing that. You think, oh, that's not me. That's for those people who fit this definition. And I think one of the things that we have done is we have created a stage where we have expanded that definition. It can be, you know, people like me who are getting the Fred Meyer senior discount. I can do this. And so, and that's very empowering. And there are people who have come to our shows and they've said, I've always wanted to do this. And we'd say, take a class. We'll come to your graduation.
That festival that you enjoyed saying, the All Jane, No Dick Festival, is an all women's comedy festival thrown by Curious Comedy Theater. And that is something that's different and provides a forum for women. And they still got backlash for doing that festival from the comedy scene because it was women's only
exclusive
comedy.
Right.
But the, you know, the whole thing, women aren't funny and all of that stuff. We don't believe in any of that.
Well, we have had people come to our show and they come up to us afterwards. Like a husband will come with his wife. And I have heard this over and over. And they'll say, you know, my wife made me come and I thought this was going to be really bad. But it was good, and I had a good time, and then they come back. And so it's, I think that we've kind of broken down a few of those stereotypes of
oh, we have people that come every month. So we shake up the lineup and try to do something new each time.
Right. Men, and we have men and women. It's the common thread is that it's PG-13.
Mm-hmm. And we have audience members that come every month. And it's great to see them, and they have a great time. It's really fun.
I have to come up with new stuff.
Yeah, that's good. It keeps us writing.
As an audience member, it is just so empowering to see a woman doing something that they don't often get to do.
Yes.
It just inspires women and young girls, and it's so powerful.
And it is some, to some extent, outside the norm or outside the rules that to see, because it's a powerful thing to be up on stage and mm-hmm. and so to see a woman who is funny and taking control.
So you think
of that
menopause mom, she could be like a superhero. Menopause mom. She hasn't seen her waist in 20 years. Menopause mom.
That is a powerful
She can't
force.
Volunteer in the classroom anymore because she can no longer pretend to like other people's children. Oh. I could tell you about menopause mom.
Powerful woman.
She has a deep voice, doesn't she?
We'll be right back with a little more with the Women of Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase after this musical break.
I locked my door at night.
That was Liz Phair with Help Me Mary off of Exile in Guyville. You're listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO. I'm Leanne Kranz. Our guests in the studio tonight are with Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase. We have the co-founders and producers, Joni Quinn and Betsy Kaufman, and one of the performers, PDX-based writer Nikki Shulak. While I have you all here at this table, I would really love to address the pervading myths in our culture that women aren't funny and that feminists are humorless. I would love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm okay, you're okay, I'm my own best friend, my mother, myself, I have no fear of flying, I am woman, hear me roar.
Joni Quinn.
That, wow. No, that's Gilda Radner.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a huge Gilda Radner fan. When I was in high school, we had a closed circuit television thing in high school, Arcadia High School, And I used to imitate Rosanna Dana. And so, I mean, I never... Even as a child, thought women weren't funny.
Yeah, that never occurred to me.
No.
Yeah.
You know who says that? Men.
Like right. John Belushi, for example. Jerry, what's his name? Jerry Lewis.
They said it. John Belushi said it.
John Belushi said it.
Look where he is now.
Jane Curtin let that out in an interview I read. Yeah, the women on Saturday Night Live really went through it. They had some...
They were
obstacles.
Like the Jackie Robinsons.
The thing about it that frustrates me about that is I still hear it. I mean, you know, obviously if John Belushi was saying it, it was a long time ago. But I still hear that every once in a while now, which amazes me, given that we have people like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and Kristen Wiig. And it just is astounding to me that we even hear that. But we still do hear people saying that that they think that. And I guess, you know, I never thought that because I was a funny kid and I hung around with other funny girls. And so it never occurred to me to have that limitation. But as soon as I started doing comedy, I started hearing that stereotype. And I also started to notice that 9 out of 10 performers at any open mic and the typical comedy club weekend is an all-male lineup. And I think what we have done is created a space where women can practice and get better and develop their own comedy, and an audience can get accustomed to seeing them. But I think it is just, it's a ridiculous notion that this particular group of people are less funny than another. And I also will say I've known plenty of feminists who are hilarious. So I don't think, I mean, I've heard that old light bulb joke, you know, how many feminists does it take to change a light bulb, and it's one and it's not funny.
Is that an energy trust joke? I'm a little confused. What kind of light bulb?
And it's an LED, Joni.
Oh, thank you.
I work at Energy Trust. and we do deal with LEDs, but that's for another show. But I think part of what happens is that this is Betsy, by the way. You gave me instructions to say that. I didn't say it the whole show.
Don't worry, I don't sound Jewish.
I'll say it again.
So.
This is right, exactly. So this is Betsy. I think part of what happens is because men, I think men have a higher tolerance for thinking they're funny when they aren't necessarily, so they get through that practice period better. But I think what happens is the more people see men on stage and the more that they are doing some of the kinds of jokes that they do, that, you know, you're more likely to hear misogynistic material out of a man's mouth than out of a woman's mouth. And I think, or more jokes about
rape,
about sex or sexual assault or porn. I think what starts to happen is people begin to think that's what comedy is, and then that's what they expect to hear on a stage.
Yeah.
And so then when they hear a woman doing what she does, they have to kind of take a few minutes to reorient. And I think what we have done by having our PG-13 show is create a space where from the get-go you're not going to be hearing that, and so you don't have to go through any kind of mental shift.
Yeah. Yeah, I've I hear there's like a unwritten rule that you don't see all women lineups in the big comedy clubs.
Right.
And I can't remember who we were talking about, but we were very excited for a friend who had been in our timeout show who has moved out of the state, but she got to open for Maria Bamford in her town.
That's Gretchen
and,
McNeely.
Yeah. And yes. We were so excited for her because it was a woman comic and she had a woman opening for her, which a lot of times the woman's not secure enough or whatever to let it be an all-woman show. It was awesome. We were very excited for her. Yeah. So.
I would say that for me personally, I've opened at Harvey's. I've had that opportunity to do that, and all of the comedy teachers that I have had have been incredibly supportive. I have never picked that up for myself, but I know that it's out there. There's a Portland Women's Comedians Facebook page, and occasionally there will be some chatter about that. But I think that the more women who are out there doing this, the more we're just breaking down that stereotype and saying, you can't go ahead and think that. Come to our show, and we'll prove you wrong.
In the whole feminists are humorless myth, you know, I just think it boils down to, you know, certain things just aren't funny to women. Things that demean and harm us.
Yes.
And limit
yes.
our view of ourselves, our destiny, etc.
Right, which is why we don't allow that
yeah,
on our stage.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think also, just like I was saying before, that that ageist jokes are a substitute for thinking. Those are a substitute for thinking as well. Because if you say something that makes people uncomfortable, they're more likely to laugh at it because they're nervous. And
they're just
so
shocked that you said it out loud or something. Yeah.
And so it's easier to get a laugh. And I think that that's a substitute for working hard. And I think that the really good comedians, I mean, the people who you see who are very successful, aren't doing that. They're way beyond that. They're doing really brilliant, wonderful analogies. And, you know, if you sit and, you know, you watch Jon Stewart any day of the week on The Daily Show, you'll see him do these amazingly smart comparisons. And so I think the people who are really successful aren't doing that. They've if they ever did, they've moved beyond it.
Nikki Shulak, as a comic writer, do you ever encounter prejudice about you not being funny because you're a woman? As when it comes to comedic writing, which is such a man's world up to recently?
I don't feel that there is prejudice against female comedy writers. And here in Portland, I've performed with Betsy and Joni on their show so many times. I'm so used to the lineup being all women. And when I go someplace else to hear comedy, it surprises me to see men performing on the stage. I think women are the funniest. We have great material, and we see things from a different perspective.
We let a few guys perform with us in Spilt Milk.
Token
right,
men.
Right. Oh, right.
Maybe I don't know who you've been with on stage, but actually I think you. Here's what I'm thinking Nikki's saying, because they are following our guidelines, so you're not noticing the typical
shock
male.
Guy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I just think if you can get 10 to 15 minutes of clean material or PG-13 material, you could take it somewhere. And if the kids in town doing comedy are not having an opportunity to do that somewhere, they're not writing that stuff.
You can do. Also, it's really smart as a comedian to have a clean set, because then you can do corporate work. Then you could get hired by your office to do something. Your office
a
is
sitcom.
Never going to hire a sitcom. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. I think that it makes sense to do that kind of material and to have that available to you. I touched the table.
No,
I wasn't supposed to touch the table.
It just sounds like a brontosaurus.
Sorry, did I do that?
Oh, no, Jewish brontosaurus.
It makes it funnier.
It's like a Jewish princess.
Our funny guests in the studio are women from Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase, Joni Quinn, Betsy Kaufman, and Portland writer Nikki Shulak. So please tell us about the upcoming showcase next Friday night. What do you have planned? How can people get tickets? What do they need to know to get there on time? And let us tell us.
Well, this arrive early. It gets crowded.
Yeah, yeah, we typically sell out. The room holds, we sell about 55 advance tickets online, and you can get those at brownpapertickets.com.
Right. The exact address is spiltmilk.brownpapertickets.com.
And they're $7 in advance with a little processing fee that Brown Paper Tickets does. And then $10 at the door. We only have a few tickets left at the door if everyone shows up that bought a ticket. And this is the first time we're doing two shows. We're so excited because we want to know what 9 o'clock looks like, because we don't stay up that late usually.
Do 7.
We're too tired.
So we're doing 7 and 9 p.m. So we're turning it over and bringing in a new crowd.
This is
a little experiment. So if you want to be part of our audience experiment, come, and it's Friday the 13th. You really want to stay away from ladders. All that's, we won't have any there. You know, come and have a lucky Friday the 13th.
So where is it? And
it's at O'Connor's, mm-hmm. O'Connor's Vault in Multnomah Village. Normally we just do one show in the evening. We have a 7 o'clock show. We're done by 8:15 or 8:20 so we can go home and fold laundry. So, and we're asleep by 9:30. But As Joni said, we have shows at 7 and 9. But it's O'Connor's in Multnomah Village, right downtown in Multnomah Village.
7850 Southwest Capitol Highway.
Thank you.
Wow.
How organized of you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think we're the only showcase in Southwest. I don't know about too many. Oh, there was an open mic happening in Tigard. I do know about that. But we're pretty much the only showcase that's happening in Southwest Portland. You can come to the Burbs and see good comedy.
And Nikki is going to be in our show. Another writer named Debbie Dodds. And
Debbie's a writer, a performer. She used to perform at Disneyland for Disney. She was a Barbie princess.
She can do the wave.
Birthday party. She's hilarious. And she usually does her 50 most embarrassing moments. She has a book. And you pick a number and she'll read to you.
She'll tell you a story of her embarrassing.
I can't believe she remembers them.
How many? She has so many.
I think it's 100.
And she's willing to share them.
Yes.
Incredible.
So if you want to hear some of those.
And we have one man. We have man in the lineup.
We have Ian Durius. Ian is a newcomer to the scene. So
pulled him out of a comedy class.
Yeah. And and I'm going to be performing with Ian in April, April 21st. He does a fundraising kind of comedy show, the Oregon Brew House. And all of the proceeds go to a nonprofit. I don't know which one we're raising money for this time.
He invited you.
Yes, he did. But we can't be on the same bill, so you'll be like probably the next show.
Thanks, Joni.
Yeah, all right. That's because you used my punchline right there, baby.
So that's Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase next Friday night, March 13th. Two shows, 7 and 9 at O'Connor's in Multnomah Village. Get your tickets in advance for $7 at brownpapertickets.com. Oops.
You can just search for Spilt Milk.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go on Brown Paper Tickets and search for Spilt Milk Comedy.
And how else can people connect with Spilt Milk?
Oh, we have a Facebook page. We're like high tech because I have teenagers. They help me with this stuff. So we have a Facebook page, Spilt Milk Comedy, and we're on Twitter and Instagram at Spilt Milk Comedy. We have a website. And that one is spiltmilkpdx.com. So that will have all the performers who have ever been in our showcase and links to their websites and dates of the upcoming shows and confirmed lineups on there as well.
Yeah, and we love hanging out with people who come to the show. And there are a lot of people who come and say quietly, I've always wanted to do this. And so we dispense bits of advice and send them to a class, and we're trying to build a talent pool of people who have done that. And also one thing to note is we do shows every month during the school year. We take the summer off, but every lineup is different, so you can come and then you come again.
Thank you so much for being our guest tonight, Betsy.
Thank you,
Kaufman, Joni Quinn, co-founders of Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase, and Nikki Shulak. Thank you for sharing your writing tonight. I'm so glad we got to hear it again, the second time on Bread and Roses. Thank you.
This is such fun to be here. We are so happy to come, and I love KBOO, and so this is great.
Nice.
Thank you, Leanne.
You're welcome. Nikki, do you have anything exciting coming up in the writing frontier?
Well, I'd love it if people came out to the Spilt Milk show next week. I've got a new piece that I'll be reading. It's called Finding Joy, and it is about a love affair with Prozac.
Yay. Well, thank you again for being our guest.
Thank you, Leanne.
It was great to be here.
Check out Spilt Milk Comedy Showcase, Facebook, Twitter, and come
We're
to their
everywhere.
Show next Friday night at O'Connor's in Multnomah Village, 7 to 9. Thank you for listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland. I'm Leanne Kranz. Thank you to our engineer, Aubany Z. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to go out with a song. Lucinda Williams, Happy Woman Blues.
Happy Friday to you all. Welcome. It is straight up 7 o'clock. My name's DJ Erickson, sitting in with you. Coming up next, we have your Friday edition of Hard Knock Radio. You're listening to 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland, 91.9 FM, the Hood River and the Gorge. And for you...